Good afternoon, board members, and ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to our board's business meeting for December 16th, which I will now call to order. Board members, I will give the invocation and lead us in a pledge. If all will arise. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we have this opportunity this day to come for our last meeting of the 2012 Board of Supervisors to do the work of the people. We are grateful for the time that we have had together as a board for these 4 years serving this wonderful community. We pray that we can get through our agenda in a timely fashion and be able to make the decisions that are appropriate and in a manner that will better Loudoun County. As a board, we are grateful for our staff that has been behind us and helped us to accomplish the many achievements that have successfully happened over these 4 years. And we ask thy blessings be with them as they continue to serve the future boards and the citizens of Loudoun County. We're grateful for our first responders and for all that they do to protect us. We're grateful for our military men and women who are in harm's way, and Father, we ask thy blessings to be with them, to protect them and lead them, and hopefully to return home safely to their families. And we pray at this time for peace around the world, that wars will dissipate, and that all will be able to live in their country with peace. And this we pray in thy son's name, amen.
Our heavenly I'm still in a prayerful mood. I haven't
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, board members, our first item is adoption of the consent agenda. I have not proposed any additions at this time, as we have had several supplemental items come to us. So therefore, it is proposed for the consent agenda that we approve the administrative items report of November 4, 2015. Item 7A, contract renewal, job order contract for paving, surfacing, and site work. 7B, contract renewal, real property acquisition services. Item 7C, contract award, interior build-out of Sterling Library. 8A, ZOAM 2015-0003, floodplain overlay district, zoning ordinance action group recommendations, not supported by staff and or the planning commission. And actually, that is to support the recommendations of the transportation and land use committee. R1 is a resolution of appreciation for the members of the Loudoun County Planning Commission. Is there a motion? Is there a second? Okay, motion for approval has been made by Supervisor Bona and then seconded by Supervisor Letourneau. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry 702. With Mr. Higgins and Mr. Delgadio absent for the vote. Are there any requests for additions or deletions to the agenda? I'm aware of one addition wanting to be made. Mr. Letourneau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the legislative program, I would like the board to consider supporting the governor's request for funds to support Dulles Airport in the budget.
All right, let's just put that on as item number 10. All right. Anything else at this time? All right. Then our next is we have a few members of the public that have signed up to our 4 o'clock session. Each speaker that has signed up to speak will be given 2 minutes to do so. We'd ask when you come forward, please state your name for the public record, and when the podium shows your 2 minutes up, we'd ask that you would yield the floor. Our first speaker this evening is our clerk of the court, Gary Clemens, to be followed by Gary Nicely.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you briefly. I wanted to first thank all of you for your support of the Patriot Project. On Veterans Day, we unveiled the statue officially, and we do appreciate the support of each and every one of you in that endeavor. But to Chairman York, we want to issue a special thanks to you because you've been involved in this from the very beginning, dating back to 1999, so we really appreciate your support of this effort.
Pleasure.
The other reason I'm here is on my own behalf, on behalf of the clerk's office. I wanted to extend my appreciation to Supervisor Delgadio, Supervisor Reed, and Supervisor Clark for your service on the Board of Supervisors. I know firsthand the amount of time it takes to serve on this board and to serve an elected office. I know the toil it takes on your family to commit time to participate in these meetings and to be out in the community, so I commend you for your call to public service and for your many years of service on the board. And to Chairman York, my thanks goes to you as well. You've served on the Planning Commission as a Sterling District Supervisor and, of course, Chairman since 2000. You and I have worked very closely in many endeavors, and I've asked you and the members of the board many times to invest in the clerk's office for the betterment of our community. And I can recall many circumstances, but just to share a few, anytime I've needed judicial support for our judges in the court in light of challenges the court has faced, you've been there to support me and what I've needed to help support our court operations. One of the unique things we have in Loudoun County that's a real treasure are the historic court records. And again, with your leadership, Chairman York, you helped invest in that process, and now we have one of the best historic records programs in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And then a third example of the investment you've made in a partnership with me is our probate operation. Early on in my administration, when I was first elected, I identified the need to have a expansive and professional probate division, and you helped invest in that process. And those are many examples of how we've partnered together over the years. And so on behalf of my office, I want to thank you for your leadership and for many years of public service on this body. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Our next speaker is Gary Nicely, to be followed by James Kristen.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Gary Nicely. First thing I have is a question. My wife wants to know if this new $20 million pistol range is going to have an automatic bullet return. And, okay. So I'd also like to thank Mr. Delgadio for the certificate of appreciation. And I'd also like to add, if you'd follow the spirit of what I've been saying to you, you might still have your job. Well, enough of that anyway. I'd like to point out that if we use satellite computer technology to design, analyze, and prioritize our transportation infrastructure, perhaps we wouldn't have so many underbid interchanges on the order of 98 to 165%. I'm not making that up. You can check with VDOT on that. Dangerous interchanges, bottlenecks, poor placement. Let's stop these half-donkey projects and the scalping of our tax dollars. The result of traffic improvements are questionable at best. Tell the White House we're being strip-mined. Lives are going up in smoke, literally and figuratively. You know, the data moves in Loudoun County, but the citizens don't. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Hey,
Mr.
I'm going to miss you, York. I really am.
Well, I'm going to miss you as well, Mr. Nicely. James Kristen, to be followed by Pastor Michelle Thomas.
Can I just start? Chairman York and the members of the board, I'm here. James Christian, and I'm representing the Patriot Project. And I just wanted to say that the first resolution of support for the concept of a memorial honoring Loudoun County Patriots in the Revolutionary War was signed by the Board of Supervisors in 2000. In July of 2008, members of the board passed an additional resolution in support of the project and its effort to place a memorial on the courthouse grounds. Since then, the board has continued that support and commitments. Events occurred that necessitated delays in the project and extensions in the timeline. We never gave up the belief that the project would be completed, and fortunately, you did not give up on us. That brings me to the reason why I'm here today. I would first like to thank the county administrator and his staff, General Services, and the Parks and Recreation Department for their support during the installation process of the memorial. I know that several of you were able to join us for the dedication on November the 11th, and while not quite complete, work is in progress on the installation of the plaza and the walkway. The Spirit of Loudoun is not only a memorial, but a magnificent work of art that Loudoun County can and should be proud of for generations to come. On behalf of the Patriot Project Committee, I would like to express our sincere appreciation and thanks for your support and, above all, your patience in allowing us to complete the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Christian. Pastor Michelle Thomas, to be followed by Bob Lazaro.
Thank you, Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Scott York, Chairman Scott York. I thank you for your time today. Want to quickly just move to giving you thanks for the Belmont Slave Cemetery dedication and your work and contributions for that. I also want to move forward to say that it's not over. We have lots of work to do. And so dedicating the slave cemetery is one thing, preserving it and interpreting it is another. I want to read to you some examples of African-American history that we need to be aware of. In the early 1730s, slaves comprised more than half of the early settlers. In 1957, at the formation of Loudoun, we were 16% of this county. In 1967, we were 60% of the county. In 1773, we were 28% of the county. And so we are not invisible. Again, Loudoun is diverse above and beneath the ground. We need to really restore our commitment to preserving, interpreting, and educating this community about the great resources that can be found in Loudoun County. We are one of the richest counties in the country, yet we are almost ranking number one in poverty in spirit. And so we need to enhance the spirit of community and unity as we move forward on the Belmont Slave Cemetery issues. Thank you, Ralph. The ball is in your court. I'm depending on you to carry this movement forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Thomas. Bob Lazaro to be followed by Philip Thompson.
Good afternoon, Chairman York, members of the board. My name is Robert Lazaro, and I reside in Purcellville, Virginia. And my sole purpose for being here this afternoon is simply say thank you to all of you for your dedicated service to our community and to your families for over the past years, 4 years and longer, have supported you during your public service. It certainly is not easy. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank our Blue Ridge supervisor, Janet Clark, for her service to our hometown of Purcellville. Janet has always had an open door to the concerns of the town and the community at large. We are the beneficiaries of your assistance and that of the entire board over the past 4 years. As I like to say and continue to say, Purcellville is a great place to live, work, and raise a family, and it's due to your support and that of your colleagues that it has been able to remain so. Finally, I'd like to say a thank you to my friend, Chairman York. I think it's fair to say we took a chance on each other 14 years ago when my family moved to Purcellville and I came to work for you at the board. I can absolutely say I've enjoyed every moment. And it's been a privilege for me not only to work with you as a staff person and as a former elected official, but to be able to call you a friend. As Supervisor Luterno noted in the recent award you received from COG, the breadth of your accomplishments is deep and wide, and Loudoun is a much better place for it. With that said, to all the board members, my sincere best wishes all for a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a happy and healthy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Philip Thompson to be is our concluding speaker.
Good afternoon, board. I rise in support of Pastor Michelle Thomas and what she just said for the need for that cemetery project to be completed. But I also wanted to address an issue of a recent controversy, or at least issue with Mr. York. I had a Facebook post that said that Loudoun County was being run by like a plantation. Mr. York took offense, and I'm sure he passed it around to a few of you. I first want to apologize for any for offending anybody that might be offended by that statement. But I also wanted to say this, you know, as I try to explain to Mr. York, Loudoun County has issues. For years, when you turned on the public access, the first thing you saw about Loudoun County on that access channel was that Confederate statue. Now, to you, you might say that's just something we put up there and it means nothing. But for other people, that has meaning. So the first thing you see is a Confederate statue. Another issue, in 2007, I sat on the Loudoun County's Equal Employment Opportunity Plans Commission. At that time, the workforce in Loudoun County was 84.2% white. At the time, the population was around 20-something percent minority. Now that population is 38% minority, and as of 2014, the workforce in Loudoun County is 81% white. Both the Equal Opportunity Plan Commission and the Multicultural Advisory Commission, which followed Loudoun County, which followed the Equal Opportunity Plans Commission, has been both are no longer exist. So it seems that certain issues relating to the workforce and how this county hires and are not being covered. And these are important issues that I think that hopefully the next board will take up and address so that people don't get a misunderstanding that maybe things aren't up and up in Loudoun County. Lastly, I want to wish everybody a happy holiday. And for those board members who are leaving, I thank you for your service.
Thank you, Philip. All right, board members, Mr. Thompson was our concluding speaker. We have a closed session listed on the agenda as next, but we will do that following the administrative comments. And I don't expect that to be a very long closed session, but we need to take care of an item. So at this time, for my comments, just three things, board members. First of all, I want to thank the Dulles Corridor Rail Association for recognizing this board and its work in transportation accomplishments over the past 4 years. They did this at a ceremony over at the Starplex at Loudoun Station, and we're very appreciative of that of the recognition. And again, I have to thank staff's yeoman's work in helping us in all that we've been able to put forward and accomplish these 4 years. As you know, earlier we supported a resolution supporting the Syrian refugee blanket drive, which I want to thank everybody for unanimously supporting that. Kind of give you tune of what has occurred. Last year, in our efforts, we saw about 38,000 pounds of blankets donated to the effort and then shipped overseas. This year, we garnered over 120,000 pounds worth of blankets and coats. And this was a result of many other people, states coming aboard. I think we had 13 states that participated, plus the District of Columbia. And I have to thank everybody who went into their closet and pulled out an extra blanket or jacket and donated to the cause, or went to the store to purchase new items, as well as Paxton Shipping out of Fairfax County that shipped all these items from their place down to Norfolk and Maersk Shipping, who is shipping them to Turkey on our behalf, both companies doing it all at their expense and not one single penny to help them out in that effort. And then lastly, I've been asked to let folks know that following this board meeting, the four supervisors that will continue on to serve the citizens on this body will be sworn in here in the board chambers, and we welcome everybody to stay observant and participate in that ceremony. I will now turn the time over to Mr. Hemstreet for his comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I have three things for this evening. The first is that it's been a full year since the county launched the Loudoun Express Request, or LEX, which is a tool that allows the public to submit questions and requests and connect directly with county staff who can help them. LEX is proving popular with our constituents. Staff has seen a significant increase in the number of requests compared to the previous tool that we had been using. LEX is available as a mobile app and is on the web at loudoun.gov/LEX. Second is the Department of Animal Services is organizing an adoption extravaganza for Saturday, December 26. All adoptions at the animal shelter will be free that day from noon until 4 p.m. There will be plenty of holiday fun and festivities, including hot chocolate and cookies, as well as family photos with Santa, music, and more. More information can be found at loudoun.gov/animals. And then finally, board members, I do want to take a moment to thank you for your service to Loudoun County, and also to point out that you have accomplished a great deal in your 4 years up here. To name a few, you brought the Silver Line to Loudoun. You adopted business-friendly zoning ordinance amendments. You created the Government Reform Commission, and not only did you create it, you stayed with that commission and actively interacted with them over a period of 18 months. And then you went on to adopt the majority of things that they recommended to you, and you also did so in a manner that did not turn the government organization upside down, you know. And so I think you should be commended for that. There's a lot of governing bodies that debark on things of that nature and either A, never complete them, or B, do so in a fashion that is completely disruptive to the organization in doing so. And so that is that's just a huge accomplishment that you should be very proud of. You've also maintained your triple A bond rating throughout that time. At the beginning of your term, you clearly defined your key priorities and goals, those being economic development, transportation, fiscal responsibility, high-quality education, and government operations and reform. You've never varied from those. You always kept your eye on the ball. I mean, there were times where sometimes you would have other things that you want to focus on, and you completed those things, but you'd always come back to those priorities, and you maintained that throughout your term. You prioritize development and land use initiatives through a strategic plan, and you've completed more than two dozen of those items since 2012. Additionally, you've overseen a variety of community initiatives, ranging from Loudoun Targets Lyme campaign to the adoption of the Water and Wastewater Needs Assessment Program, the latter being something that was started in 2008. And so that's something that went through two different boards and that you were able to complete. You've also helped realize the opening of several capital facilities, including public safety centers, fire and rescue stations, and the Gum Spring Library. Your accomplishments are too numerous for me to mention here, but I think, you should be proud of your leadership, your service, and commitment that you have made making Loudoun an even better place to live and to work and to play. And so on behalf of the county staff, I do want to thank you sincerely for your service over the past 4 years. I do want to wish those of you that are coming off the board the very best. I want to let the four that are continuing on, I look forward to working with you as we move forward. And for all of you, best wishes for a happy holiday season. And those are my remarks this evening, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hemstreet. Board members, we do need to take care of this executive session, so I'm going to ask the vice chair to read the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors recess this public meeting and enter into closed session pursuant to Virginia Code Section 2.2-3711A, number 7, for actual or probable litigation and for consultation with legal counsel and briefings by staff on the contract with AST Corporation for the implementation of the ERP.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Ms. Volpe. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. Board members, please quickly into the Lovettsville room. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope we are no more than 10 minutes. Thank you. Board members, I'm going to move that the closed session be adjourned, that the Board of Supervisors reconvene its public meeting, and that the minutes of the public meeting should reflect that no former action was taken in closed session.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Letourneau. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry. Let's see. Are you going to be an aye, Mr. Bona?
Yeah.
All right. That motion then will carry 8-0. One with Ms. Clark absent for the vote. I move that the resolution certifying the closed session be adopted and reflected in the minutes of the public meeting.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Bona. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will also carry 8-0-1 with Ms. Clark absent for the vote. Our next item, board members, is number 3, ZOAM 2015-0005, mixed-use zoning ordinance amendment plan development mixed-use business zoning district. And Mr. Baker and Mr. Schultz, do you have anything to add to the staff report at this time?
No, Mr. Chairman. We did provide a supplement to you that had some minor changes to the ordinance, and this item is ready for action.
All right, very good. Ms. Volpe, would you like to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would. I want to thank up front the Zoning Ordinance Action Group, staff, some of the stakeholders involved. This has come a long way, and this is another one of our business-friendly zoning ordinance amendments. And I'm very excited to move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZOAM 2015-0005, mixed-use zoning ordinance amendment, with the recommendations from the Transportation and Land Use Committee and further staff revisions provided as attachments 1, 2, 3, and 4 to the supplemental action item for the December 16, 2015 Board of Supervisors business meeting.
Second.
All right, motion has been made and seconded by Mr. Reed. Discussion, do you have any opening comment?
Short opening comment. I appreciate staff's diligent work in refining the unmet housing needs item in the zoning ordinance amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Letourneau.
So this is mixed use, and I'll be honest, I've been getting mixed signals from staff on this for quite some time. What is the staff recommendation on this item?
Yes. Staff supports many of the changes that are included in the mixed use because we feel like the current district is not as flexible as it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. And the only big issue from staff is the density issue, that the current plan supports densities up to 16 units per acre, and this goes higher than that, and that's the big issue for staff as it relates to this.
And if in those applications that would go potentially higher, would those require special exceptions?
Those would all have to go through a zoning process, and so you would have the opportunity to evaluate those and determine whether or not they've addressed
them. However, the applicants would be able to argue that they're consistent with the plan if they're raised.
Right. No, sir. No, sir, because the plan is not being amended at this time, and so it still wouldn't be
district.
Consistent. And so
we'd have more consistency between the zoning districts and the comp plan.
Right. Yes, sir. Does that answer your question?
So on balance, do you think these are good changes?
On balance, yes.
Got it.
Further discussion, Mr. Bona?
Just a quick question. It's my understanding there's only two PD-MUB zones in the county right now, Concora and Foxgate. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You see, if we approve this, do you see a slew of applications coming?
I do foresee that because of the increased flexibility, this will provide a more opportunity. And I do see that there will be some applications. We've had some pre-submittals, and so there is interest in doing this.
Okay, and I just want to point out, even though it's not consistent with the comp plan's quite old at this point. It was put together when we all thought keynote employment was the thing, and we all know that's no longer the thing, and the mixed use is really where everything's going. So I'm going to support this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll be supportive of it as well. And to maybe address Ms. Letourneau's concern, that's why we have the public process to come in. They're going to have to prove their case to the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors as well as staff. And we're going to have to be very careful as we do some of this stuff, because there aren't a whole lot of places we can put schools any longer. And I'm still concerned, as we go through the Silver Line CPAM, the total impact of the transportation network, because there's not a whole lot for us to be able to expand in moving people in and out to Maryland, in and out to Prince William County, in and out to Fairfax County. And so we have to be careful of that. But the amendments are good because they do add the flexibility to create a better product. It's just a question of how much of the product we can afford to have rezoned in the future, and that's what a future Board of Supervisors will have to address. Any others? Mr. Letourneau? Sure, I'm sorry, Mr. Delgadio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of these are technical for staff. I mean, most of them, a majority. Is that, and that was discussed at the last meeting as well. A good number of these are technical changes within the district.
I would think they're more than technical changes. They're changes, a variety of changes to provide flexibility for applicants to not be as constrained with the preciseness of the district right now. Right. So I would not classify them all as technical.
Well, some of them are cleanup, but the bigger ones, the density issues, which Supervisor Letourneau brought up and that I brought up, staff says the fiscal impact, regarding the fiscal impact, is not known on page 5 of the item. And iPad 36, page 36 of my iPad, the fiscal impact, you say the fiscal impact is not known, whereas generally I could say with the mixed-use plan for the tax district previously, the CPAM, in years past, over the years, you'd have 5,000 to 6,000 units that you could say these are going to be 5,000, 6,000 additional units in the corridor that was designated as a area where we were going to have some plan in theory, right, under the comprehensive plan. And then there was a CPAM amendment to that. And that was, I voted no. It was 7-2 or something. And I've always voted no, and that's really what I wanted to point out today. This is a more density on top of the increased density that I voted no on. And staff cannot tell me today, can staff tell me, is it another 5,000 to 6,000 units on top of the additional 5,000 to 6,000 units that were already generally approved for this area as increased density? Or is it going to be 1,000 extra units? You can't, because nobody's prepared any applications for this.
Yes, I can't speak to that. The staff can't speak to how many units this would yield, because, I mean, we'd have to consider those, and the board would have to consider those as applications when they come forward to determine the impact and whether or not you would support the mitigation that's proposed.
Right, and I've had to do this before, where if staff can agree to 5,000 to 6,000 units increased density and I voted no, and you're coming in with another 10 units per acre, is that the range 16 to 24? Is it from 16 to 24? I got that right?
20 to 30.
There are opportunities to go higher than that if they provide affordable housing and things
right.
Like that.
Right. Well, and I have 1 second left here. So I would estimate ballpark in lay terms, not staff, Eugene terms, probably another 5,000 units here based on the potential. So I'll be voting no.
Yes, thank you. So Transportation and Land Use Committee meeting, the last discussion we had was about the language and the need for you folks to get the language cleaned up so it was very specific to the suburban policy area. Do you feel that you've been able to achieve that?
Yes, Supervisor Clark. We worked with the attorney's office and provided language that does allow zonings to occur and encourages them to, that this is the appropriate area for these zonings to be. And so we did put the language in there to attempt to push people to only do this within the suburban district.
Okay. We also talked about the comprehensive plan and the fact that we're acting on this when there's going to be the next board here next month starting on the comprehensive plan. And I still don't see the reasoning why we need to act on this now, when this could all be changed by the next board easily. Is that correct?
Well, the district exists today, so you know, I think that the new board, with the comprehensive plan update, could look at other areas that would be more appropriate for mixed use, and so expand those red areas that we have on the map, and also look at the increased densities that could be proposed, and evaluate the physical impact and our transportation system, schools, and things of that sort. So that would be part of the plan update, I would think.
Okay, so you just said something that confuses me a little bit, because it was my understanding, based on the maps that you do not have pulled up on the screen right now, that were before us at the Transportation and Land Use Committee and in our PAC at the last board meeting, that this action would expand that area beyond those red areas that are highlighted on that map.
No, this action does not change the comprehensive plan the way you see it here. And so to be consistent with the plan, you would need, an applicant would need to go into these red areas.
Okay. All right. So taking this action, it still would not be consistent with the plan unless the next board changes the plan.
No.
Correct.
Yeah, it would be consistent if they locate in the red area.
I understand. I'm talking about beyond the red area.
Right. Outside of the red area would be deemed to be inconsistent with the plan.
Right. So if they come in with an application for PD MUB in the area that's shaded in green, that expanded area, it is not going to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, and that next board will have to make the decision on those applications based on those factors.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To that point, could not an applicant bring one forward right now anywhere in the county?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So that doesn't change that at all?
It's the same way it is today, yes.
Right. I'm going to be supporting this item. I support it at the committee level, and this has been under construction for an excess of 2 years, and I think if the next board wants to make modifications to it during the comprehensive plan process, I'm sure that they can. But at this point, I think that if we don't support the work that's been done, a lot of work by staff and others, we've wasted in excess of 2 years. And I think this is a reasonable, this is a very reasonable approach to what we've been trying to do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Do not take all 3 minutes to close, Ms. Wolpe. We're running out of time.
No, I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to follow up. In reality, there are controls put into place in this. The extra 10 units per acre that an applicant could yield, there are requirements put upon them, including having to provide bus service, you know, for the community. None of this was done lighthearted. Regarding the question of pushing things forward to the next board, you know, we could be saying that for anything that we've worked on for the last 6 months. In reality, the players may change, but the game remains the same, and the business of the county needs to move forward, and I really don't want to see staff and the volunteers on ZOAG and all the stakeholders that have been involved in this waste 2 years for us to end up having to start all over. Thank you.
All right. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
All right. That motion seems to carry 8-1 with Mr. Delgadio opposed. Our next item is item number 4, decision on whether to acquire right-of-way and easement by eminent domain for Bartholomew Fair Drive and Potomac View Road. And Mr. Delgadio, this is in the Sterling District. Do you have a motion, sir?
I have spoken to Chairman York. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to Suzanne about this. We had a back and forth at the last meeting. I have spoken to the county attorney. I have spoken to the applicant. Long discussions since the last meeting. So I have in my hand an alternative. Alternate motion number 1. I'm sorry if no one has a copy of that. I'd like
it's being passed out to them right now.
We got it.
Thank you. My understanding, our confusion was a poorly, not to reflect on staff, but this is a very detailed topic, and I'm going to summarize it in one sentence. It's extremely involved. There's been a lot of work on the part of the applicant, on the part of the staff, on the part of the county attorney, on the part of all the members of the Board of Supervisors, and everybody. So this is what I would like to propose for our discussion because of the shortness of time. But again, as I said, I have put in the time. And the alternate motion number one is on the table. And my understanding of that, Mr. Chairman, is that it takes into account what the staff needs to do, what the county attorney thinks can be done, and what staff recommends. So, and I'll read it. I move that the Board of Supervisors choose to not exercise its right of eminent domain to acquire necessary right-of-way and easements for improvements to Bartholomew Fair Drive. And I further move that the Board choose to defer its right of eminent domain to acquire necessary right-of-way and easements for improvement to Potomac View Road, with the stipulation that the owner bond such improvements to Potomac View Road prior to the approval of site plan STPL 2015-0025 Cascades Overlook Town Center Phase 2.
Motion has been made and seconded, and if I may, I do have some questions of staff, because as I read this motion, I'm a little concerned of the timing of things. And I appreciate the fact that we have a public safety issue that needs to be resolved, which is why I think ultimately either Dr. Crotta, the landowner across the street from the project, will have to either cooperate or there will have to be some form of condemnation. But we're still not allowing the developer to go forward with this project until he goes through the process of bonding the project. And this, and I'm wondering if there's a way to amend this motion that allows the project to go forward, but that a time period or until that he cannot receive occupancy permits until the road is bonded. In good faith, I believe Mr. Wooten will go forward and get the bonding taken care of as quickly as possible, and maybe we allow for a six-month period in here. But we've been going back and forth on this issue, and here we are, and still not exactly resolved. So let me defer maybe to legal and ask, is there a way to amend this motion so that it allows the project to go forward, but we still get the bonding to take place and get what we need before somebody moves into the units?
Yes, sir. Right now it's at site plan approval, which we believe that staff believes that they can get done quickly, like within a week or so. But if you wanted to have it at certificate of occupancy, that is a perfectly appropriate type solution for the board. It is later in the process, and it may hold up people moving into their homes if the bond wasn't in place. But yes, sir, you could make that amendment.
Well, I understand that, but this motion does not allow the project site plan to be done in a week. It says and until he is able to get bonding. And my question is what is the length of time to get bonding done in Loudoun County? It's not a week process.
I know the staff is available to answer the question on how much the bond should be, and that the only other question would be when Mr. Wooden could get his bond in. And then it would go through the site plan and bond approval process through building and development in my office.
Can staff tell me how long it's going to take for the bonding to actually happen?
I'm going to let Mr. Siegfried answer that question.
Subject to the cooperation of the developer.
I'm not going to be able to give you a definite time. What I can tell you is staff can prepare and have a bond estimate back to the applicant in a couple of days. It's then the responsibility of the applicant to prepare the legal documents, submit those to us. We will get them up to the county attorney's office immediately. But at that point in time, it just depends on the quality of the documents and how long the county attorney's office is going to review the documents.
But in terms of us providing an estimate, we can do that within the next couple of days. I don't think that answers your question.
Okay, assuming a couple of days, and how long, Mr. Wooten, to get the bond to the county?
Chairman York, I think what we've seen typically bonding is less than a week's time to get a bond.
Are you okay with the motion that's on the table? Yes or no?
I'm a bit confused. So if I think where you were leading to was allowing the bonding to follow site plan approval.
The motion on the table, Mr. Wooten, is Potomac View with the stipulation that the owner bond such improvements to Potomac View Road, which we all want, prior to site plan approval.
Yeah. I'm not comfortable with that because then that holds the site plan up from being approved and moving forward with the actual building. I think where you were headed was appropriate, if possible.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Volpe.
For point of clarification, I'm assuming, Mr. Siegfried, would you state that based on what the applicant has said for what it takes on his side for the bonding process and your side, that say 30 days would be sufficient time to get the physical bond here and done?
With everyone working together, I think that's reasonable, yes.
Okay. Supervisor Delgadio, I'm going to move that we amend the motion.
Please request a friendly amendment.
Friendly.
Okay. A friendly amendment that to provide the amendment with the stipulation that the owner bonds such improvements to Potomac View Road within 30 days of site plan approval 2015-0025.
That's acceptable, that? Yes. That's acceptable to me, Mr. Chairman.
And since I was the seconder, I accept.
That's correct. And I'm going to add another friendly amendment to the motion, Mr. Delgadio, subject to failure of such bonding that no occupancy permit be issued.
Okay.
Thank you.
I accept it.
All right. Very good. Further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Board members, the next items, item 5 and 4, are actually in the supplemental packet that is in the yellow folder before you. They are dealing with the board's conversations that we have had in our review for both the county administrator as well as the county attorney on our performance review that we've done with them in the last two board meetings. As a result of our discussions, there is an item here that proposes a salary increase. Item number 5 is a proposed salary increase for the county administrator, and I will go ahead and move that the Board of Supervisors approve a 6% increase to the annual base salary of the county administrator effective December 17, 2015. Motion has been seconded by the vice chair and board members. As discussed, I think collectively we have all felt that the county administrator has done an excellent job serving the Board of Supervisors in the community since he has been with us for several years now, and certainly I think this board can certainly say that Mr. Hemstreet has performed an outstanding job these last 4 years, particularly for this body. And I think it is time that we get him more in line with the region. And so it is the reason why I am putting this motion on the table to you today. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
That abstention, that motion will carry 801 with Mr. Reed abstaining. And board members, item number 6 is a proposed salary increase for the county attorney. Again, board members, we've had Mr. Rogers with us now for just a little over a year in our evaluation. One of the things that we looked at is comparables within the region. And when we hired Mr. Rogers, we did not propose a salary that was really comparable with what is happening in the region with other jurisdictions and what they pay their county attorneys. We felt collectively that Mr. Rogers has done a good job for the Board of Supervisors, and Loudoun County is not a sleepy community, and a lot of work is going on, and he has spent countless of hours over the weekends as well to keep up with everything that we as a board have initiated and what has needed to be done, as well as to defend the citizens of Loudoun County and the Board of Supervisors. So therefore, I move that the Board of Supervisors approve a new base salary of $220,000 for the county attorney effective December 17, 2015. Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Volpe. Discussion. Mr. Letourneau.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo what you said. This is a higher increase than the county administrators, and there may be some questions about why that is, but essentially, it's a market correction. When the board did the analysis of the other jurisdictions, we realized that our county attorney was quite dramatically underpaid compared to most comparable jurisdictions, even some that are not in Northern Virginia, with populations that are not exceeding ours. It is far cheaper for us to invest a little bit more heavily in our existing personnel that we are happy with than to have to go out and deal with changes and the another period of bringing somebody else in. And that's not because Mr. Rogers has said he was leaving or anything like that, but it's a fact of life that if you underpay somebody long enough, then maybe they start to get ideas. So what we wanted to do was ensure that we are adequately and competently reimbursing him for his services in a market-driven economy that we have right now. And I will just say for myself that the county attorney's office has seen dramatic changes in the last year since he's been on board, and I think really significant improvements in structure and responsiveness and the ability to adapt to what's happening in the county right now. And so I want to make sure that we're adequately paying our county attorney.
Further discussion, Mr. Delgadio.
To emphasize the last sentence of Supervisor Letourneau's comments, a dramatic change. Every week there's some new initiative or some new concept introduced by the county attorney or an old concept updated. The people of Sterling and Loudoun, the citizens of our county, have benefited from this expertise. Any week, including last week, things are represented in court or at the Securities and Exchange, various state agencies on a ad hoc basis by county attorneys. Our county attorney has been there saving us a lot of money, whether it's a court, local court appearance, or litigation. So the savings is there. And in my opinion, we're just sharing some of those savings in a proper manner.
Further discussion on a motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion will carry 801 with Mr. Reed abstaining. Our next two items are board members from the Finance, Government Services, and Operations Committee, 7D, Annual Debt Issuance Guidance. Mr. Letourneau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item has come before the Finance Committee several times and the board as well, and it relates to what new debt that should be issued. I sometimes refer to this as debt cap. It's really not a debt cap. A debt cap is inclusive of all the debt that we issue, and that's a number that far exceeds the numbers that we're discussing in this item. There has been some evolution in staff thinking regarding the appropriate amount for our debt cap to be. Essentially, this number of $200 million that we used in our CIP was established, I believe, in 2006?
That's correct, 2006.
And so If you just think about it logically, the county budget has obviously significantly increased since 2006, as has our population, as has our need. But the debt cap is an artificial construct on our CIP, really designed to help us stay within all of the other ratios that the credit rating agencies actually are looking at. They're not so focused on what our debt cap is. They're focused on a bunch of other metrics. When further analysis was done with Mr. Sandy, who has taken over essentially the reins of management and financial services, we began to understand better that we could increase our debt cap without impacting the other metrics. And those are the metrics that are important for us for our AAA bond rating. So I want to emphasize that the motion the Finance Committee agreed to, which is to increase the debt issuance guideline, will not in any way impact our ability to keep our AAA bond ratings. So I will go ahead and say, I move the recommendation of the Finance, Government Services, and Operations Committee that the Board of Supervisors amend the current fiscal policy to increase the annual debt issuance guideline of $200 million to $225 million, and I further move that the fiscal policy, including an adjustment to the debt issuance guideline every 5 years based on the CPI five-year rolling average and after appropriate review, will be brought back to the Board of Supervisors for approval.
All right. Motion has been made. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Reed. Any further in your opening?
No, I think that pretty much covered the item. I'll go ahead and just ask staff to confirm that simply raising the debt cap does not impact our debt rating.
That's correct. The debt rating agencies are really looking at your debt ratios, not this artificial construct, which is useful for educating the public about debt.
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Delgadio.
Thank you, and I agree that it will not impact the debt ratios and the other matrix that is studied by Wall Street and the bankers and everybody else that gives you the AAA rating in the first place. But I will be voting no, because what you're doing is you're applying New York technology, banking philosophy to Loudoun County, and the people of Loudoun County are not the richest people in the world. You have a significant population here of homeless, a significant population of poor people, and Sterling has the highest proportion of poor people. Just raising the amount of money you borrow means that there's going to be a higher bill to pay for a generation, and you're setting it up now with this resolution to increase it $25 million, but also to set up a system where it is increased several million dollars, whatever the number is, as long as the debt ratios are not hurt. And that's how the United States of America got into the problems it's got into today, by just borrowing whatever people say it's okay to borrow. People say it's okay to borrow, so just keep borrowing.
Mr. Bonnet?
Yes, thank you. I agree with Mr. Delgadio in the sense that this will not affect the debt ratios. We had staff do a pro forma of a $225 million debt limit and do it under the scenario of a economic downturn, not a full-blown recession like we had in 2008-09, but a downturn. And we stayed well within the ratios. That said, I think it took 4 years for it to happen, but I'm finally going to vote with Mr. Delgadio. And my reason is this. I don't think it's the end of the world if we raise the debt limit. But we have to remember, if we do this, there's two other things that come into play. First is we pay 10% cash on all capital projects. So we have, and I realize it's phased over the years of the CIP, but that means we've got to come up with more cash in local tax funding with all the budget pressures we have for the 10% pay-as-you-go. Additionally, we will have debt service payments that increase at a higher rate each year. That requires additional local tax funding. And the numbers are showing that by 2020, that's another $6 million a year we got to take out of the general fund. It's over $12 million by 2021, and it's almost $13 million by 2022. So where does this money come from? And I realize this is all theoretical based upon a CIP at 225. But regardless of whether it's theoretical or not, the point becomes we have to match that 10% pay-as-you-go, and we will take on additional debt service in each one of those budgets. I'm not really willing to mortgage what the next board has to do right now. Because we know right now we have a serious operating budget problem, and we also know we have a tremendous CIP problem. Raising the debt limit kind of helps us with the CIP problem, but what we're kind of saying is, well, guess what? The schools want more money than the debt limit, so let's raise the debt limit. It plays bad. The optics are bad. I know that's not really the case, but the optics are terrible. They just came with us with a $270 million request in FY17. We're about to start the FY17 budget, which is $70 million over the debt limit, and that's before we take every darn county project like roads, jails, fire stations, you name it, out of the CIP. Just the schools alone were $70 million over. So the optics don't look good at this time. If we don't do it now, however, I realize that it probably won't get done for quite some time and maybe not for another 3, 4, 5 years. In the end, though, it's the local tax funding that will have to go on top of this is why I'm going to not support this. I did abstain in finance. I do want to correct something that Supervisor Turner said. The Finance Committee had no recommendation. The Finance Committee vote was 2-2, and I abstained. So essentially it came from finance to the board with no recommendation.
Yes, information. Mr. Hampshire, I believe the vote on this was 3-0-1, correct?
It was. That is correct. The vote was 3-0-1. Yes. Oh, you're correct.
It was the I made the Finance Committee's recommendation.
Thank you. 3-0-1-1. I was not there.
Yeah. 0-1-1.
All right, that's Mr. correct. Bonfields.
Yeah. Yes. I'd like to thank Mr. Sandy for the detailed explanation of this raising of this tool, this cap that we use. Just because we raise the cap doesn't mean we have to spend to that limit every year, and we will not. And I think future boards will. I think this is a good tool to have to address some of the issues that we have in the short term as well as in the long term, so I intend to vote for it.
All right. Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I would consider myself a fiscal conservative. I believe that it's always best to err on the side of caution. I understand the flexibility. I understand that, you know, you're looking at debt ratios and that type of thing. And the analysis that was done was wonderful. I appreciated having the example of a quote-unquote downturn. But as Murphy's Law would have it, what happens if it's not a downturn? What happens if it's a full-blown heavy recession? We've done enough mortgaging of our grandchildren and grandchildren's future in this country. I would like us to try and live within our means, so I will not be supporting the motion.
Mr. Reed.
I just wanted to point out, thank you, Mr. Chairman, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, staff, that this can be reviewed by the board, not just in 5 years, but every year, right?
Yes, certainly.
Yes. So, therefore, if it's not working, folks, you can change it next year. It's not as if it's ground in stone. It's a policy. And, again, this debt limit, the debt cap has not been raised since 2006. So I would urge my colleagues to go ahead and vote for this. And, again, if it's not working, that's what you're here to do. You're here to look at the budget. You're here to look at the debt issues. You're here to look at all this stuff. And then you don't have, and then you can change the policy. Thank you.
Let me ask Mr. Sandy, in our current approved CIP, how much debt do we have scheduled that's tied up because of the garage construction for Silver Line?
$130 million.
And if things stay on course and they are built hopefully by the private sector, when do we see that being freed up?
Mr. Chairman, I would probably recommend to the board that you would consider that as part of your FY18 CIP.
Sorry, 18?
Yes, sir.
18, so roughly two more years, right? Yeah, in the following way, still about 2 years. Yeah, all right. I'm going to, and this has been a tough one, and I'm going to vote against the recommendation. Let us get through the garages. That will free up some spaces. I'm very confident they are going forward. That will help us to begin to help out the little stretching that is needed in the school system.
And if it is not able to do so, if the board's not able to do so, then they can move forward with the confidence that staff says it will be okay to increase the debt limit. But at this time, I'm going to side against the motion. Further discussion, Mr. Letourneau?
I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill, because this is an internal fiscal policy. That's all it is. This alone doesn't do anything to the budget. This alone doesn't obligate anything. All it does is discuss how much new debt could be added as a matter of policy into the CIP. If we had a difficult downturn, the Board of Supervisors would do exactly what the Board of Supervisors did in the past, which is to simply cancel the CIP projects that didn't need to actually be built. And that's what's happened. So this in no way has anything to do with whether there's a downturn or not and our ability to pay for it. I can assure you in the work that I've done with staff that if we have any issues whatsoever covering our debt, they're going to take a very conservative approach and warn the board ahead of time. We get ourselves into trouble at times in this sort of area when we do try to overprogram our CIP, and that's a different issue. If you're really concerned about this, then don't vote for turf fields and don't vote for all these things that aren't must-haves. That's what's adding to our tax rate. It's not an internal fiscal policy that's an artificial construct that was only designed to give the board some guidance of roughly how much more debt we can add before we start getting into trouble with our ratios. So this is not what some of you think it is in terms of what it actually does. In reality, and one of the things that we discovered, we do not issue debt up to our debt cap anyway in most years, because we spread it out, and the way that these things are done is generally a multi-year sale. So there's usually room in our debt cap in reality by the time we're done with the sales anyway. But during our CIP process, we use the debt cap as a tool for us to understand, understanding that usually the actual amount is ended up being $30, $40 million under what the actual debt cap number actually is. So I think there's really no reason not to do this. It's not changing anything. The board still has to make the decisions as to how much money to actually spend. This just updates a fiscal policy that should have been updated 5 or 6 years ago and hasn't been. And one of the reasons it hasn't been is because we get into discussions like this.
All right. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Let me see the hands on the nose, make sure I get the right count here. Okay. That motion will fail, and it looks like it is 4-5 with Mr. Reed, Mr. Bonfils, Mr. Letourneau, Ms. Clark in support of the motion. All right, our next item is 7E, Loudoun Museum update. Mr. Letourneau.
This one had no recommendation from the Finance Committee. It was a 2-2 vote, and the discussion was related to whether or not, essentially, the county should allocate funding for the position of a development director to Loudoun Museum and engage in an MOU with the Loudoun Museum in which the county would gain more control of the operation in an effort to save it. The committee expressed a great deal of frustration with the fact that the board has supported the Loudoun Museum for several years with conditions that were supposed to be improved, but were not. Certainly there was some discussion from acknowledgement from Loudoun Museum that things could have gone better. At this point, really the decision point for the board is whether we want to be part of the Loudoun Museum or not. If we vote against this motion, then the Loudoun Museum will likely go its own direction. Things will either stay the same or they will disperse the collection and we will have no say over it whatsoever. If we support this motion, then the county administrator will work to set up an executive oversight committee and establish an MOU. I've made it clear at the Finance Committee that from my standpoint, the MOU will be tough, and it will be on the county's terms that this money gets delivered and the development director gets hired. That's the way it has to be. And if there is discussion and if the Loudoun Museum is not does not agree to those terms, then I'm prepared to walk away. But I supported the motion, and so I'll make it. I move the Board of Supervisors allocate $42,500 to the Loudoun Museum in FY16 direct staff to program $156,000 for the Loudoun Museum contribution in the FY17 proposed budget, establish an executive oversight committee for the purpose of providing assistance and guidance to the museum in hiring a development manager who would be an employee of the museum to establish and execute development plan, and direct staff to develop an MOU between the county and the Loudoun Museum.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded by Mr. Higgins. You have any further opening?
No.
All right. Very good. If I may, staff passed out pictures. Can somebody tell me why four we have these?
Yes, yes, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Volpe requested that we take some photos of the stored collection.
Okay.
In other words, the items that are not on view at the museum. That's what you have in front of you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Bonfils?
I had a question about the motion that the I had thought that at the Finance Committee meeting we had added that the that no funds would be dispersed until the MOU is in place and approved by the board.
I can't answer that because I was not there, Mr. Attorney.
What was the question?
The question was I thought we had added to
yeah,
the motion.
I made it, you're right, and there was an updated motion from hold on. It wasn't in the yellow folder. Sorry.
You got mine, but go ahead.
I think I have everybody's.
Probably.
You do, sir. My apologies.
That was part of the motion. It was accepted as a friendly amendment. So this has been restated.
Yes, go ahead and read.
I move the Board of Supervisors to establish an executive oversight committee for the purpose of providing assistance and guidance to the Loudoun Museum and hiring a development manager who would be an employee of the museum to establish and execute a development plan, direct staff to develop a memorandum of understanding between the county and the Loudoun Museum. And I further move that upon ratification of the memorandum of understanding, the Board of Supervisors allocate $42,500 to the Loudoun Museum in FY16 and direct staff to program $156,000 for the Loudoun Museum contribution in the FY17 proposed budget.
All right. So is the seconder accept the new motion?
Second, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Very good. Back to you, Mr. Bonfils. Did you have any further comment?
No further comment.
Ms. Volpe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I even said to someone today, I hope we have a little flexibility in discussing this for those of us who were not on the Finance Committee, and this is a bit of a technical issue. I asked for these photographs because I know no one had been over to the storage facility. Because my bigger concern and something that no one has been looking at is everyone keeps talking about just, you know, moving the Loudoun Museum forward and having a director of development and this and that. I am concerned about the preservation of the artifacts. Just looking at a couple of these pictures, I know from my work when I was on the National Endowment for the Humanities payroll, these are not being properly stored. You have to properly store textiles. It deals not only with the temperature, it deals with the level of humidity and even the concentration of nitrogen in the air to properly preserve these historic items. I see items that are actually stored on the floor. All of this stuff should be elevated off the ground. I appreciate that we're looking at a development director, and I don't know where this conversation is going to go in a memorandum of understanding. I mean, I could do a memorandum of understanding with someone, and it's great that we both understand. I would prefer this actually be a contract, and if we are going to invest this kind of money, I believe that it should be such that it moves to, say, the county administrator or the Board of Supervisors to appoint the Board of Directors for the Loudoun Museum, and that we authorize the county administrator or his designee to hire the executive director, to hire the development manager, and those people report to the county administrator so that the actionable goals actually occur, so that in reality the ultimate goal of preserving the collection does occur.
Further discussion on the motion, Mr. Reed.
Well, let's take a look at what you got here, Suzanne. A German Army helmet, is that a Loudoun County artifact? Stones, plaques, rail pieces. Through the years, the museum has been collecting some good stuff, but also a lot of junk. And no one's interested in looking at junk. And I know you may want to say this is the history of the county, and this is so important. Well, if it's so important to be at the museum, why is it I see in the paper this past week that Clerk of Court Clemens is displaying Loudoun County artifacts, real Loudoun County artifacts from the Revolution? You don't need a centralized museum to preserve the county's artifacts. You don't. The Balch Library has been preserving stuff at the expense of the town of Leesburg taxpayers for over 20 years. We can look into having a partnership with the Balch, perhaps. But it's really problematic to be putting the Board of Supervisors, when it has so many other things to do, to be signing an MOU like this and getting involved with the management of the museum and dealing with somebody, Ms. Whiting in this case, who's an attorney and knows the legal rules and knows the reality of all this and has been very, very effective through the years of getting money out of the town of Leesburg and this county to keep this thing going on. They get only $2,000 in admissions. She doesn't raise the fees. They spend $5,000 for an accountant. A lot of nonprofits that have less money in the bank would have a volunteer do that. I'm sorry, folks. I think that you're making a huge, huge mistake by supporting this motion. It is a lot better to let the museum, and it has the money, to let it liquidate the museum, let it bring those artifacts, to disperse the artifacts to places that will want them. But by going down this path with over $150,000 in county money is not necessarily going to bring in more visitors. People are not going to the museum. Even when it was open weekdays, people were not going to the museum. They weren't. I live in Leesburg. I live right around the corner. My office is right around the corner. People are not going to museums like this anymore. They're not. And we're just going to be getting this county into a thick of funding something which is not managed properly. Whether you have an oversight committee, a board of directors that's chosen differently, fine. But the fact of the matter is it's complicated when you have the town owning the building, you have the artifacts owned by the museum, and now you're going to have a development director hired by the county, and now you're talking about having influence over who the trustees are going to be. I don't know if you're going to have that influence given the legal reality. So it's really a lot better to just, you know, I hate to use the word kill it with kindness, but they have the money to disperse the collection. And again, a lot of the collection, and Ms. Volpe proved it here, is not Loudoun County specific. And it can be sent out to other museums in the area, in Loudoun County, Oatlands, and so forth. Thank you.
Mr. Bona.
Yes, thank you. We all know it's important to preserve our history, and I don't think anybody up here is contesting that. But I also feel like it's Groundhog Day, because this is the fourth year in a row that I've sat here and listened to these requests for funding from the museum. And I went through their IRS 990 before the Finance Committee meeting. The county has 65% of their funding right now, and Supervisor Reed is pretty accurate. They had less than $2,400 annually comes from admission fees to the museum. And if you start doing the math, whether it's $1, $2, or the $3 that most people pay, and you equate that to how many visitors are going through this museum, that number is minuscule. It's like four a day, if that. Part of the problem we have here is that we did ask them to put a plan together. They put the plan together, and the plan never got executed. We told them, you've got to reconstitute your board. You need a board that can raise money. A fundraising board. Didn't happen. I looked at that IRS 990, the total contributions generated by that board in an entire year last year, and there's 14 board members, was $10,500. Heck, I raised $100,000 for my campaign. So did Supervisor Volpe. We did it in 6 months. And 14 people can only raise $10,500. That is the wrong board altogether. And if you want this to work, you need a board with business people on it. The only way I could possibly support this at all is if we had control of the board, we decided who was on that board, there might have to be other changes made. Even that is a problem. I'm afraid that if we let this go on, I am going to be up here 4 years from tonight having this same exact conversation, because I've had it annually for 4 years, and I don't see it changing even if we approve the motion that's on the table. I just see it as a way of buying time every year, and every year the county's kicking money back in, and every year nothing has changed. There haven't been any improvements. The plan wasn't implemented. This just gives us more money for us to hire their marketing director, whatever the name of the position was. I also want to point out that I do appreciate everybody's passion for the museum that's talked to me about it. I've asked a lot of constituents, have you gone to the Loudoun Museum? They say, what's that? Nobody in Ashburn knows about it. I don't think anybody in South Riding knows about it. Even some people in Leesburg don't know about it. I appreciate Supervisor Higgins' passion over it, and I appreciate him serving on their board, but I'm also going to say it is a conflict of interest to sit up here and vote on taxpayer money going to an organization whose board you are on. And I knew he'd turn his light on, but it is a conflict of interest. Since I've been on this board, there have been two items that have come to the board involving my daytime employer. Both involve money. I recuse myself from both of those, all discussions, all votes, and everything. And I don't believe you can sit on a nonprofit board and not recuse yourself from providing taxpayer money to it. Thank you.
Mr. Higgins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me deal with the last comments first. Mr. Boner knows full well that there is no conflict of interest for me to sit on a volunteer board that was of a Loudoun museum that was getting money from the county before I was on the board and will probably get money from the county or someplace else after the board. It's a volunteer board, and there is no conflict of interest. I don't work for the Loudoun Museum like those votes that you suggested that you recused yourself from. Thank you very much. And while I'm at it, as far as Mr. Reed's comments, Mr. Reed's been trying to kill the museum for, I think, 8 years, maybe more. Today's just his most recent opportunity to do just that. I would offer tonight that I am pleased with the item that the staff has brought forward. I think that they've made some great recommendations. This offers a real solution to the museum's challenges to get them back on their feet. The museum's funding has dropped by about 90%, and they've been reeling ever since, and it wasn't just a few years ago that that happened. This proposal from the county staff allows them to have oversight into the restructuring of the board. The difference this time is that we've had many, many outsiders involved in this, 8 different ones, I won't name them all, including county staff, that have brought forth incredible expertise in the past 5 or 6 months to come up with this item. And frankly, I wish this had been embarked on earlier, but we are where we want to be. There was discussions of many things, including funding, volunteerism, development, structure of the board, and discussion and outreach to the county, things about locating locations in libraries, satellite exhibits, and the rest. And this whole process has already preserved produced some positive developments in the museum. We've had an increase in membership, and there's some restructuring looking at going on with the biggest fundraiser that they have currently, the hauntings. Basically, this museum used to have a staff of 5 or 6 people, I think, and they've been choked down to 1 part-time staff. You can't have a museum open when you don't have anybody there to open the doors up, and the rest of it's been volunteerism. Frankly, this solution gives us a real opportunity and a real solution to get the Loudoun board back on its feet, the Loudoun Museum board. The most critical element, in my opinion, is not the funding. It's the executive oversight committee. The final restructuring will be contained in the MOU or a contract, whichever occurs. The current board is a volunteer board, and it will allow them to do just what they do well, and that is volunteerism for the county. They have an amazing collection, and I hope that my colleagues will support this item this evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Regardless of the debatable effectiveness of the operations of the museum, I do believe sincerely that we should be talking about how we're going to preserve the museum artifacts. These few pictures here don't even remotely reflect what all of those artifacts are. And there are jurisdictions in this country. There are other municipalities that invest in museums. They don't expect volunteer boards to do that. And we have tremendous heritage and history here with this county. We have an opportunity to further preserve. We've done that with the Farm Museum, the Claude Moore, and that's a wonderful museum. I think that that should be promoted more. But this, what we're talking about here, represents a much broader history. Ms. Granfield, in one of our prior board meetings, I had brought up the consideration of working with our Parks and Rec department or one of our other departments on this. I do support this committee concept. However, were there any conversations had with any of the other departments?
There were several conversations with the other departments. And one of the alternative offered to you in the item is the alternative of absorbing the museum into the county system and have it being managed by staff of Parks and Recreation. There are two downsides to that. Number one, the county is prohibited from doing, as a government, is prohibited from doing fundraising. So we would not be able to do fundraising to support the museum. And number two, you'd be absorbing the operational cost of the museum, which is going to cost at least what the board has been contributing up until this point. Now, what I did discuss with Parks and Recreation and the Director of Library Services was if they would be amenable to using their facilities, the libraries and the community centers, to display artifacts that were not currently on display at the museum, and they both were very positive towards doing that.
Well, I think that's excellent. In terms of, because there are so many in storage, have you spoken with the museum board to see if they'd be willing to allow that to happen right now?
Ms. Whiting was at the table when we had that discussion, and I did not hear any objections to that by any means. We would need to purchase display cases and such to do that, but everyone seemed in favor of the idea.
Okay, would you need board action to accomplish that?
I don't think so. I don't see why we would.
I would certainly recommend at least that. I will be supporting this item, by the way.
All right.
Point of inquiry.
Board members, I'm going to support this item, and I appreciate the concerns of those who don't necessarily support what is being proposed. And I hope if this were to pass and go forward, that the next board will be very tough in the MOU. And if there is no agreement between both bodies, then I hope then we can work to ensure that we are able to save the artifacts. I think that if we can get to the point where we use some of our public facilities to include our libraries, this building and the lobby to display more of the artifacts, we'll be better off as well to help promote. I mean, if we're going to close them down because nobody in Sterling or South Riding or Ashburn doesn't know about the museum, then we might as well close down the Board of Supervisors because half the people don't even know about the Board of Supervisors. It's a matter of public education, and quite frankly, how the organization now manages what they do, they have to do it 100% different. Ms. Whiting, it doesn't work, and that's what we're trying to tell you, but a few of us are willing to go down the road to try to save it. And I hope you listen to what is being said up here, because this is the last chance if this passes. I don't even know if it will, but this is the last chance.
Mr.
Letourneau, you have concluding remarks.
Mr. Chairman, before we conclude, just because you're looking at the young lady sitting there saying, Ms. Whiting, I just make sure are clear
Ms.
that
Whiting
that's not her.
Is out in the audience. I know who I'm talking to, Ms. Clark.
Okay.
Mr. Letourneau.
May I ask a legal question?
We're out of time, Ms. Volpe. Mr. Letourneau.
Okay. Well, look, the MOU has to come back to the Board of Supervisors. So there's been some things thrown out there. What we were trying to do is thread a needle between the county taking over a museum completely, which has cost and other implications for us, and I'm not so sure we really want to do, versus the county implementing a path forward for the museum for it to succeed on its own. And that's what we're trying to accomplish with this item. At the end of the day, the current museum is set up to fail. There's no question about that. So it's not a surprise it doesn't get a lot of visitors, and it's not a surprise that people aren't terribly interested in it because most of them don't know it exists because the museum doesn't really have the resources to do much. So that has to change. I'm the first person to say when somebody says that Loudoun County is the wealthiest county in America, I always correct them because we're not. We have the highest median income, and that's a completely different metric. That said, there's a lot of wealthy people in Loudoun County, And I'm willing to bet that with some confidence, with the county administrator's involvement in setting up the executive oversight committee, there will be doors opening to donations from the the private sector to come in and help support this museum in ways that far exceed what they currently are. And when that happens, then we have done our job and we will get out of it because we have no desire to continue to fund this forever. So I hope we do, however, at least allow us to have that discussion and allow us to go forward and negotiate an MOU.
All right. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Let me see the hands on the noes on that. Okay. That motion actually will carry 5-4. No. Let me see the noes again. Okay. That motion carries 5-4. With Mr. Reed, Ms. Volpe, Mr. Bonfields, and Mr. Bona opposed. Board members, we are running behind schedule. I hope we can get through these land use items that we've got under number 9 fairly quickly. I don't see too many complications with these applications. The first one is ZMAP 2014-0003, Special Exception 2014-0006, and CMOD 2015-0014, Pullen Hill. And this is in the Dulles District. Mr. Letourneau.
Okay, staff, the outstanding issue for me on this was on the turn lanes. I understand there's been some discussion and some resolution to that.
Yes, you have revised proffer language, which commits to the provision of the turn lanes at site entrances as required by VDOT for site plan and construction plan approval.
Okay. I move the Board of Supervisors approve ZMAP 2014-0003, Special Exception 2014-0006, and ZMAP 2015-0014, Poland Hill, subject to the proffer statement dated December 11, 2015, subject to the special exception conditions of approval dated December 1, 2015, and based on the findings for approval included in the December 16, 2015 Board of Supervisors business meeting action item.
Second. Motion has been made, seconded by Supervisor Clark. Opening.
I'll keep it brief. This is an application that we've worked on for quite a while that provides primarily age-restricted housing. There were a couple of outstanding issues in the staff report. We're sort of looking the other way on a few of them because the product that's being provided here is something that does meet an unmet need in the Dulles District and in the suburban policy area. I am pleased that we've come to a resolution on the turn lanes. I think that'll make it a safer project.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion will carry unanimously. Our next item is 9B, ZMAP 2005-0018, Special Exception 2005-0028, Ashbrook Marketplace. This is in the Broad Run District. Mr. Bonfields, I'll turn it to you for a motion, sir.
Okay, my mic's on. Good. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZMAP 2005-0018 and SBX 2005-0028, Ashbrook Marketplace, subject to the proffer statement dated December 1, 2015 and received by the Board on December 9, 2015 and included in the Board Business Material, Board Business Meeting Action Item, and special exception conditions of approval dated December 16, 2015, and based on the findings for approval included in this attachments 1 and 2 to December 16th, 1 and 3, excuse me, to the December 16th, 2015 supplemental memorandum.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded by Supervisor Bona. Any opening, Mr. Bonfield?
There's been a lot of discussion about this project, and I think it's a good project. It'll be contributive. It'll improve some of the competition in that area and additional transportation improvements.
All right. Very good. For discussion, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Board members, I did talk to Mr. Bonfils about item 9C and 9D. This is all about the project Loudoun Station. For me, for himself, and I think for several of us, Loudoun Station is one united project, although under two ownerships. We have come a long way on where we are with these applications that are before us. I believe we are good to go, are we not?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So given that they are basically under the one project called Loudoun Station, I have asked Mr. Bonfields to make a motion for both of them simultaneously for approval. So, Mr. Bonfields, I'll turn the time over to you, sir.
This will be a long motion. All right. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I move that the Board of Supervisors approve CCPA 2015-0014 and ZMOD 2015-007, Loudoun Station Transit, Gramercy District, subject to the proffer statement dated December 4, 2015, in the December 9, 2015 Board of Supervisors Supplemental Memorandum, and based on the findings for approval included in the December 9, 2015 Board of Supervisors Public Hearing Staff Report.
You're not on the right.
Am I on the right one?
You're not on the right one.
December 14th, as a matter of correction, instead of December 4th.
Supplement. No, I thought I had the supplement here.
I know, read that, and then do I further move on?
Yes, yeah, okay. I apologize to take that back. The motion that I had on my hard copy was incorrect. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZCPA 2015-0014 and ZMOD 2015-007, Loudoun Station Transit Gramercy District, subject to the proffer statement dated December 14, 2015, based on the findings for approval included in the December 16, 2015 Board of Supervisors action item. I further move that the Board of Supervisors approve ZCPA 2015-0012 and ZPEX 2015-0033 and ZMOD 2015-0016, Loudoun Station Commuter Parking Garage Comstock, subject to the proffer statement dated December 14, 2015, and based on the findings for approval included in the December 16, 2015 Board of Supervisors business meeting for action.
Second.
I'm going to second that if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Bona. Thank you. All right. And we are good on the motions, are we not? Okay. Opening comment, Mr. Bonefield.
This project is yet these ZMAPs are and changes this motion are two more pieces for a very contributive project in the Broad Run District into Loudoun County. I intend to vote for this. Thank you.
All right. And Mr. Bona.
This will be very brief. Chairman York and I have been working with staff on this, and we've sat through a lot of the negotiations. I really want to thank staff. I want to thank Mr. Rogers, County Attorney Kenny Young, Charles, everybody sitting at the table. This was complex. This was difficult. There were three moving parts: the Gramercy District, the Comstock property, and the county's interest, especially when it came to getting the parking garage built, access from Loudoun Station over to the Metro platform. And this finally puts all those pieces of the puzzle together. And I'm glad we were racing a deadline over the weekend trying to get this in place to meet tonight's meeting so we could finish it in this board's term. And thanks to all you on staff. And thanks to Comstock and thanks to Gramercy District for working with us to get this all done.
Absolutely. Mr. Letourneau.
Thank you. I need to disclose that on September 2nd, 2015, my campaign received a contribution from Comstock Loudoun Station in the amount of $1,000. I believe that I am able to participate fairly, objectively, and in the public interest. I appreciate the work that's been done by staff on this item. I remain a little bit concerned about the linkage between the residential and non-residential uses. I hope sincerely that the applicants intend to fully build out the non-residential uses. I foresee potential changes down the road, as is often the case as development occurs, and I view those as opportunities to clean that up a little bit. I might even be open to some discussions about the amount of density here versus the linkage. in the future. But I understand how difficult this was to put together. We had parties on all sides that did not always agree with each other. And so for purposes of moving this forward and making sure that we have the agreement in place on the important pieces of this, I will support it tonight.
All right. Further discussion, Mr. Delgadio.
Just wanted to say thank you to Kenny and thank you to the staff. Thank you, County Attorney. Thank you to Gramercy and to Comstock and all the staff at the dais at the table and all the applicants involved in this. We spent a lot of time over the last 2 years. I have not voted for Metro. I have not voted for the density. I will not be voting for this item. But I did work behind the scenes to make sure that this got to this point. Even though I'm not with the board majority, I just wanted to acknowledge the effort being made by the supervisors. This is a fantastic bit of work for the goals that you have outlined. It is a tremendous level of actual I understand your mission. I understand your goals, and congratulations to you, even though I don't agree with you on a philosophy basis for this decision today.
Thank you. Mr. Reed and then Ms. Volpe.
You worked behind the scenes, did you? Wow. God bless you. God bless you. Well, I put up with 8 months of hell for voting for Metro. So I worked in front of the scenes, or whatever you will. But I'm glad that we're reaching this. I know everyone's thanked staff and everything. I want to thank Supervisors Bona and York for what they did the last couple of weeks to spend a lot of their time to get this right, and Comstock. This developer has shown a commitment to building at a location where there's no station yet. I hope that some of the developers at 606 will get off the dime and start submitting some applications, and I hope that we'll see some dirt moved over at 28, where we have a lot of density that's been approved right near Metro. And this is a very important day today, it really is, because at some point there's going to be thousands of people using that station, and they probably won't remember all the work that Mr. York and Mr. Bona and the staff and Comstock did to make it happen, but they made it happen, and so I just wanted to say that on the record. Thank you.
Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I won't go through reiterating all the thanks and the yeoman's work that was done by everybody. I want to say something I think that's important as we move forward in the future. The Loudoun Station original rezoning, in reality, was a marriage. Just like in our own personal lives, you know, you got married, you have a spouse. And some days are great days. Some days are a little rougher, that type of thing. In reality, Comstock and Gramercy, it's like you all have a marriage. And unlike us in our personal lives, you know, who can go over to one of the local attorneys in Leesburg and get a divorce and go our separate ways, I encourage you to work with each other, to be, you know, cooperative, to both entities yield the incredible benefits that can occur and that will occur at the Ashburn Metro Station. I know every single person up here on the dais wants to see, say, a successful marriage and lots of anniversaries and all those happy things in the future for both of your organizations. So, you know, as the Italians would say, alla famiglia. Thank you.
Let me just add my thanks to staff and their good work to get this done. I will thank Comstock and Gramercy as well for getting here, and kind of an extra special thanks to Comstock, because to this point they have been the ones that invested so much in Loudoun Station, and now it's Gramercy's turn, and hopefully, I think the important concept, board members, that you ought to understand, when we walked in Friday, both Ralph and I wanted to keep this, from a board perspective, a unified project, and not just two different people in the Loudoun Station area, but one project, and I think we are there. Certainly, we hope that commercial development will increase as a result of this in this given area and our other stations that we have planned for so long, and that Metro Rail will be on time in 2020 to deliver the folks. But again, I think people should not worry about the removal, including staff, the removal of the phasing. These are stations that Metro need people at, and we need the people to be there, and one way to do that is to get the people there that are going to live there, which will help incentivize the businesses to be coming there and the further development that we need in and around these Metro projects. So we've got a good project. I'm happy that we are there today. Let's see. Mr. Bonfils, do you have any closing that you want to make?
No, but I'm really looking forward, no strong closing, but I'm really looking forward to this coming to fruition, and it's going to be a great walkable community. Thank you.
Excellent. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. That motion will carry 8-1 with Mr. Delgadio opposed. We added one more item to the agenda that Mr. Letourneau wanted to bring forward. That is an item number 10, which is, I believe, legislative support to the governor's proposal for his budget proposal of $50 million going to Dulles International Airport. Mr. Letourneau?
Yeah, I'll simply move that the Board of Supervisors adopt as part of its legislative program support for any funding, including the governor's proposed $50 million funding to support operations at Washington Dulles International Airport.
And I will second that.
Very briefly, the governor's proposal would primarily, as I understand it, be used by MWA to reduce landing fees at the airport. If you've looked at the cost structure at Dulles, they're dealing with costs well in excess of National and Baltimore, somewhere in the neighborhood of $22 per landing. Much worse than the neighboring other airports, and it's really impeding their ability to compete. So by buying it down a little bit, we can really continue to attract the service that we need and also not provide so much incentive for airlines to keep leaving Dulles to go elsewhere.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion will carry 8-1 with Mr. Delgadio opposed. Board members, our next item is to present the resolutions that we adopted earlier to honor those that have served on our behalf on the Planning Commission. So, board members, if you would join me down in front, and I would invite all the planning commissioners that are here to join us down in front as well. Board members and ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome our planning commissioners here with us this evening. Planning Commission is probably, in my estimation, having been there at one point, is the second busiest body next to the Board of Supervisors because it deals with all the land use cases that come to the county, as well as addressing many of the land use initiatives that the board has, from amending comprehensive plan or rewriting the comprehensive plan, and reviewing many of the zoning ordinance issues that we may bring up. And so let me just say, we're not going to go one by one. We don't have time. This is an opportunity for us to say thanks, and we have our resolutions that we can present to the commission. But on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, ladies and gentlemen, we want to recognize each of you for the excellent work that you have done on behalf of the board and the citizens of Loudoun County. And we know the yeoman's work that it takes, the nights away from the family, and we can't repay you enough for all of that. And so I'm going to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass the mic around. So what I'm going to, first of all, let me thank my planning commissioner, Kevin Rudicelli, who has served for many years. I've been lucky, and I've only had to have, in my years here, very few planning commissioners, and Kevin has been one of those and has done a great job. And I am grateful, Kevin, when I hear from many out there who have express their thanks for your thoughtfulness as a commissioner. So let me present this to you on behalf of the board. You're welcome.
Well, I'm the second luckiest Sterling supervisor. Chairman York was a planning commissioner at one point, and we've had a series of planning commissioners there who have distinguished themselves, but we have probably the longest-serving planning commissioner here, Helena. Helena, you've had a wonderful legacy for Sterling. You've worked with two Sterling supervisors, the chairman and myself, and, of course, four boards at least. I can't keep track of all the boards, and many chairmen. I know before Scott there was another chairman you worked with. So, in fact, at one point, Helena pulled rank on myself and Chairman York at a public meeting regarding the library and said, I'm here longer than you guys have been. So we accepted the correction, and I think Sterling has benefited and the county has benefited. The staff has certainly been corrected as often as you need to be corrected, and you've even corrected us here at the board. So thank you very much for your service. You were a past chairman of the Planning Commission. Thank you for, on behalf of people of the people of Sterling and of Loudoun County.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I want to also present this plaque to Commissioner Tom Dunn, who served on the Planning Commission. A lot of people don't realize this, but Tom was also on the Planning Commission for Leesburg before this, so he came here with some experience. He's done a great job, and he will be continuing to serve Leesburg as member of the town council. So congratulations, and thanks for your service to the Loudoun County. Great. Okay, good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of you actually know, I truly know, what it means to be a planning commissioner here in Loudoun County, because I served with you on the Planning Commission in a previous life. The planning commissioners are the unsung heroes. They delve into the details and the intricacies and very complex issues for the betterment of our community. And it is not just land use issues. It's dealing with county transportation plan issues, comprehensive plan amendments, zoning ordinance amendments, you name it, they do it. They are truly unsung heroes that are examples for others to follow their level of dedication and commitment to our community. And I am truly blessed to have Kathy Blackburn as the planning commissioner for the Algonquian District. Please accept this.
Thank you.
I will be very brief, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank all the members of the Planning Commission for all their hard work and working together. I've been in a number of your meetings and watched, and I think the last one I was at ended up around midnight, so you all had a lot of fun that night. Gene Scheel could not be here tonight because he's traveling with his family. So briefly, I'd just like to thank him for his service and all the hard work that he's done. I think that Gene brings a unique perspective to the county with his historic background along with a planning background, and it's been something that I think has been good for the county. I mean, specifically, Gene Scheel knows where all the bodies are buried. Literally, figuratively, specifically. So I want to thank him and the rest of the commissioners for all their hard work.
I, too, would like to echo the thank you for all the planning commissioners and all the great time. I usually don't come to them. I watch them on Channel 23, and the HD is quite an improvement, particularly for the graphics. But I would like to thank specifically Jack Ryan for all his time and effort in being on the Planning Commission and all his contribution.
This Board of Supervisors put together an incredibly aggressive strategic plan, and it wasn't just all the land use activity. It was all the ordinance changes, you know, business-friendly ordinance amendments and so forth. And the Planning Commission, we really pushed them. We really taxed them. And I want to thank all of you for really stepping up, because I know we worked you very, very hard. I'd like to thank my specific Ashburn Planning Commissioner, Bob Clancher. Bob is tied for the longest serving. I think he started with you, Helena. He's been on the Planning Commission since 2004. He served two terms as Planning Commissioner under Supervisor Lori Waters. He's now served a term under for me and in Ashburn. And the good news is, except for your wife, Bob, on January 6th, I'm going to reappoint Bob to the Planning Commission for another 4 years. So thank you for your service, Bob. Please accept this.
Thank you.
Well, unlike the Board of Supervisors, we did have some veterans return to the Planning Commission when we came in, as some of my colleagues were smart enough to keep some good folks on. And so in that context, I am particularly proud that one of the rookies, Commissioner Salmon, representing the Dulles District, ended up serving as chairman of the Planning Commission, and is the commission's current chairman. And I think that speaks to the respect that you have for him on the Planning Commission. Certainly, Jeff and I have approached land use as a partnership. We spent many hours talking about applications, and I really value his counsel. And I, too, look forward to reappointing my Planning Commissioner in January. Jeff.
Well, I'm pleased to have the planning commissioners here with us, the board, and in this boardroom where you folks have your meetings, conduct your meetings as well. A lot of people might not realize that, and that there's just a little name change that occurs up here right behind us. However, I am sad that my planning commissioner couldn't be here tonight. And the reason he couldn't be here tonight is because in the past 48 hours, he had an accident which resulted in him fracturing his hip, so he's in the hospital. So I'll be presenting his plaque in a different environment. But I will say I do know that Charlie Douglas, my planning commissioner, has added a whole different character to the Planning Commission. And I've certainly appreciated him serving. And, of course, we don't know how things will go with the next board until the appointments are made. But I do want to take this opportunity not only to thank Charlie Douglas for his service, but to all of you as well. So thank you.
Again, thank you, everybody. And Charlie, if you're listening in, we wish you well. Mr. Bona?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I ask staff to come forward? Who's got it? Who's got it? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Folks, Chairman York didn't know about this, but we asked that a seal of Loudoun be placed in our Dulles room. That's our backup boardroom. And all week, county staff has been signing this seal. And as you can see, Chairman York, there's a lot of signatures on this. As a matter of fact, I signed it tonight, and literally I had to think outside the box because there was no room left to sign it inside the box. But this is really just a commemoration. Chairman York has served on the board for served Loudoun County for 24 years, 4 years as a planning commissioner, 4 years as a Sterling supervisor, and then he's been chairman for these last several terms. We're all going to very much miss him. He's, to me personally, he's been a friend. He's been a mentor. And Chairman York, as you go throughout the county and you're driving around the county, all you have to do is look around. Look at that road. You got that done. Look at that school. You got that done. Look at that downsizing and downzoning in the West. You got that done. Look at how we've controlled our finances and our AAA credit rating. You got that done. And so it's just, I want to say for the Board of Supervisors, myself personally as a friend, we really, really are going to miss you. Take this home and you can read for several hours. But we're going to, anybody else wants to sign it, we have room in the back. And it is a lot of very nice well wishes on this. So thank you so much for your service. And Supervisor Letourneau and I organized this. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Ralph, thank you. And I'm going to reserve my comment for the end. Unfortunately, we're not done yet. But I want to thank you and all my colleagues for this and staff, but I'm going to add to that at the appropriate time. Board members, I have had one request come to me, which I would like to grant. Delegate Minshew wanted to come and express his wishes to the full board. And Mr. Minshew, if you could come forward.
Thank you, Rob. I'm glad to speak from the podium, but I'll just speak, I guess the people hear me. Mr. Chairman and the members of the Board of Supervisors and honorable members of the Planning Commission, you've got more talent on one row here than I've probably seen assembled in Loudoun County in decades. So this is a great group. Mr. Chairman, I wanted to, on behalf of all seven of us who serve Loudoun County in the House of Delegates and in the Senate, express our joint appreciation for the work that this board and also this Planning Commission has done. We are your partner in state government. And you working together truly make Loudoun County the finest place to live, I think, in the entire world. And since we have five outgoing supervisors, allow me, Mr. Chairman, with your leave, to start with the most junior and then wind up with you. Mr. Bonfils, you've been a person I've known for a number of years, went together when we worked on the Loudoun Youth Initiative. You are a steady hand on the tiller when the Board of Supervisors needs someone who would be an honorable man with integrity in his bone marrow to steer the Broadwind District for a few months. They picked the right guy in that. Supervisor Reed, you and I have known each other about 30 years, long before you began public service. As a citizen of the town of Leesburg and the Leesburg District, commend you for your service, and knowing you, I know you're not going away. Supervisor Clark, before you, we got to know each other and working on the Boy Scouting movement, and seeing you take those scouting ethics onto the Board of Supervisors shows you that we're teaching our boys the right thing. So thank you for your service. And Supervisor Delgadio, 16 years, you have been a stalwart member of the Board of Supervisors, and there's many things I could say about you, but one thing, you have taught us all how to be better constituent service elected officials. It's been said about you that if a constituent called you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said that their cat is caught up in the tree, within minutes, you would be there with a flashlight, a ladder, and an orange hat to get that cat out of the tree. Because that's the kind of service that you bring to your job. And Mr. Chairman, I saved you for last. The General Assembly this year adopted a joint resolution commending you on your many years of work, and I just realized that I did not have the opportunity to present that resolution to you before your fellow peers on the Board of Supervisors. So what I'd like to do, Mr. Vice Chairman, is provide copies of the resolution to the board. And I'm not going to read it for the record, Mr. Chairman, but I just wanted you to know that the General Assembly knows what a great public servant you've been. I got to know you back when you were Rogers Earns Planning Commissioner. And the Board of Supervisors said, we have this thing called the 1972 Zoning Ordinance. that had uses that people didn't know what they were, like abattoir, listed as uses in the zoning ordinance. And we were actually finding that the zoning ordinance was an impediment to economic development. It really was, because people couldn't understand it. And shall we say it was, it looked like an ordinance that was written during the Nixon administration. It was that old and that dated. And the Planning Commission did the work in that. And under your leadership, that 1993 zoning ordinance that we still use today allowed this county to come where it is. After that, Mr. Chairman, as certain district supervisor and chairman of the board, you oversee something that that for decades, maybe even centuries, we'll be proud of, and that is your efforts preserve the rural economy in western Loudoun County. That was not popular. That was hard work. You probably got a lot of hate email about that. But what we have today is a thriving eastern economy and a thriving western economy, and that's just part of what you did. The resolution that the General Assembly adopted by unanimous vote, all 100 delegates, all 40 senators, we don't always agree like that, Mr. Chairman, is a testament to how much we think of you. Your leadership is profound. Your dedication to the citizens in this county is exemplary. And we won't forget you, and your legacy will abide for a long time, Mr. Chairman. So on behalf of all of us in the Loudoun delegation, good luck, Godspeed, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Board members, if we could go back up, we will quickly wrap up our meeting. Board members, the last remaining item is just board comments and disclosures as needed. And Mr. Delgadio, I will start with you, sir.
No disclosures. Thank you, board members, for a wonderful four years. And thank you to the people of Sterling for allowing me to be your supervisor for 16 years.
Ms. Clark.
Thank you. I have no disclosures. I just want to say that I appreciate the opportunity that was provided to me to have another opportunity to serve the public, thank the people of the Blue Ridge District and Loudoun County. I love this community, and I really did appreciate the opportunity. And just because I'm leaving this board doesn't mean it'll be the last you'll see of me, of course. I'll just be on the other side of the dais advocating for what I feel is helpful for the betterment of Loudoun. But I do appreciate the opportunity as well to have worked with all of you, and staff in particular puts in a lot of hours. I know there's a lot of talk about the board, many of the board members working two jobs, like I do as well. But staff, you really put in a lot of hours. You're dedicated, you're committed, you support the board members, whether you feel we're necessarily reasonable or not. I know I can see it in your faces, but really appreciate all the support, all the work that you folks put in, and all that you have to put up with. So I will miss being up here, but like I said, I'm not disappearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Letourneau.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. By way of disclosures, on December 9th, my staff spoke with representatives of Walsh Colucci regarding Poland Hill, ZMAP 2014-0003, Special Exception 2014-0006, and ZMAP 2015-0014. On December 15th, my staff spoke with representatives of the Melodon Group regarding the use of eminent domain for Cascades Overlook, ZMAP 2012-0019. Well, we've come to the end of our term. It's been an eventful 4 years for sure. I'm going to reserve my remarks for the outgoing board members. Supervisor Delgadio, you have been somebody who has brought a great deal of levity at times to occasions when perhaps we've needed it. We haven't always agreed on items, but I appreciate your sense of humor and your spirit, and I know that we'll continue to hear from you, right? Supervisor Clark, you and I have worked together very closely on so many issues impacting our districts. They joint right together down there in the Route 50 corridor. We work together on the power lines, on many road construction projects, and I know that many of the progress that will be made and the projects that are underway will be a testament to your legacy as well as we move forward in getting those things done. Supervisor Bonfils, you stepped into a difficult position, and I don't want to forget Supervisor Williams as well, who is definitely part of this board and our legacy, and in fact, the Metro vote that we took tonight really had a lot to do with Sean and the work that he did, but you have ably served in his footsteps as well, and so thank you for your willingness to come in here and do the work over the last few months to help us get to where we need to go. Supervisor Reed, you have an incredible expertise on transportation matters. You really have the respect of many in the region with your knowledge on that, and somebody that I listen to. I know you've served Loudoun for many years on the Leesburg Town Council and on the Board of Supervisors, and so I have a feeling that your service may not be done. We'll see, but I know that you'll still be an engaged member of the community. And Chairman York, you've really been a mentor to me and to many of us. You've got an incredible legacy. We're going to miss you.
Thank you. Mr. Reed?
Thank you very much. First, as a disclosure, I spoke with Mike Banzaff of Reed Smith, who called about the Ashbrook Marketplace application before the board tonight, and he also talked to me about the Village at Leesburg. I want to acknowledge the presence of my beautiful wife, Lynn, and my gorgeous twins, like Jamie and Laura, who got back from college today and are here for to see my final meeting tonight, which is a final meeting concluding nine consecutive years, not just on the board, but on the town council from 2006 to 2011. And I've been thinking the last couple of weeks, what would I say tonight? And for some crazy reason, two people came to mind who have very different career paths. One is a former Cleveland Browns running back and Hall of Famer Jim Brown. I'm not a Browns fan, as Mr. Letourneau will tell you. And the other is someone who had a very different career path, the former commissioner of the FDA, Dr. David Kessler, who served from 1990 to 97 and built the modern Food and Drug Administration, and I'll explain that later. Jim Brown astonished the sports world in 1966 when he decided to retire at the peak of his career. And he was asked, why did you do it? And he said, well, too many players stay too long. They rely on the game, and I retired because it was time to do other things. And sure, I could have run for re-election, and I could have had to balance that, my duties here, my publishing business, which is failing, family, of course. But I just knew that it was going to eat me alive, and I felt it was best to move on. And I have done that. So in September, I joined a great nonprofit in Tyson's Corner, which does STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, and I like it a lot. It's very rewarding and interesting, and I get to take our commuter bus and metro each day, so I can see where we need improvements. I consider it an honor and a privilege that the voters of Leesburg elected me three times, twice in the council and once to this term of office. I'm very proud of the work that I did as supervisor and councilman, and numerous people still continue to ask me to run for mayor of Leesburg. I don't know why, but they are asking me. Anyway, I also want to say that I'm more proud of the work that this board has done. As Mr. Hemstreet noted earlier, the accomplishments of this board are voluminous. We were very productive, and so much so that I actually wrote a letter to Leesburg today about that, which I'm sure that's why you were reelected. Everyone saw that letter and said, oh, God, we've got to get the Turno back in there. We've got to get all these other people. But I believe that but I hope that in the next board, which is going to be a mixed board, Democrats and Republicans, that we will work. You'll see you work collaboratively, and that you will give our new chairman a chance, our new supervisors a chance, because I think it's important that even though Republicans are still in the majority, they have to ensure that the minority has a say in matters. I will continue to be involved, as Delegate Minshew sort of threatened earlier. I really cannot see myself being a wallflower. I will speak out if I see things that are wrong in Leesburg. I think our town council needs a kick in the rear, and I'm prepared to do that. Now, where does David Kessler come into the picture? Well, first of all, to remind you, I've been writing about the Food and Drug Administration for a living since 1986. So I wrote about Dr. Kessler, I covered him, and he did an interview with 60 Minutes some years ago where he said, in this town we rent, we don't own, we rent. And he was referring to political appointees. But it's the same way with us elected officials. We rent the office, we don't own it. And none of us here has all the answers, and it doesn't mean that somebody can't come in and fill the slot. And they will do that, and they will learn, and they will do a good job, because Loudoun County is a great place. And before I started in office, I took a course at the Leadership Institute where a speaker, actually the opening speaker of this five-day training session, said that being in elected office is probably one of the highest callings one can do other than serving in the military or the clergy. Now, I would like to add police, fire, and other first responders to that list, but in a recent article, I read that only 250,000 American citizens serve in local office. Now, that may seem like a lot, but this is a country of at least 350 million people. Very few of us actually serve in this capacity, and very few of us can make a living at it. So anyway, we rent, and none of us is perfect, except Donald Trump, right?
No.
The Almighty is perfect. So I just want to thank my family for sticking by me through these years. I want to give a tribute to my late mother-in-law, Val Guardiani, who died in October. She put up with me. I want to thank the Lord. I want to thank my synagogue. And most of all, I want to thank the town staff. I want to thank the county staff and Mr. Hemstreet. There's too many people to name. All the aides who've worked for me, 10 or 12? I forget. I've lost track. 15. I want to thank my chief aide, currently Ben Svensson, who needs a job. So if anybody has a job for him, let him know. And most of all, I want to thank the people of Leesburg and Loudoun County for giving me the honor of renting this seat for the last 4 years and also serving on the town council where I rented as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Volpe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Disclosures first. December 4th, attended the MWA Aviation Issues briefing out at the airport. On the 7th of December, met with Supervisor Bonfils with representatives of the Ashbrook Marketplace application. On the 8th of December, attended the Capital Region Business Forum. On the 10th of December, met with representatives of Atlantic Realty to discuss their land use application for Sterling Park Shopping Center. On that same date, I also attended the Dulles Area Association of Realtors holiday party, and then attended the Reed Smith holiday open house, and then attended the Economic Development Advisory Commission Board of Supervisors meet and greet at DC Prime, located in the Algonquian District. On the 11th, I met with representatives of Lexington 7 about their new land use application, and also to request that we do another community meeting. On the 14th of December, I met with the representatives of the Cascades Overlook project to, you know, take care of the issues, which we did tonight, thank goodness. And on the 14th, I attended the Loudoun Youth Inc. holiday celebration. Also on the 14th, attended, as was discussed, the Dulles Corridor Rail Association annual meeting and reception. And earlier today, attended the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce annual holiday open house. Hey, I only did that in a minute and a half. There have been some very eloquent things here this evening. As you know, I come from a different perspective. I say that the Republican Party is part of my family. You all are part of my family. This is no different than when your kid goes away to college, you know, or a relative gets a great job and, you know, moves to California or that type of thing. You know, sometimes our lives may take a little bit of a different path, but it doesn't mean that we still aren't family. I love everybody up here dearly. I love the staff. It's truly been a blessing and an honor and very humbling to be up here. And I'm very grateful for the support and encouragement that I've received. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the way of disclosures, on December 7th, I met with Mike Banzhaf to discuss the signed plans for the Peterson development in Leesburg. On December 10th, I spoke at the NVBIA breakfast, had a lot of questions about the upcoming comprehensive plan. And on December 11th, I met with Pat Quanti from Bowman Consulting to talk about the personal crossroads development in the town of, it's in the county at this point. I would like to take a moment to recognize my wife, Gail, who's sitting out there, came to visit tonight. Thank you for being here, Gail. I know these are the kind of things you need to come to when you sit on the edge of your seat because they're so exciting. But I'd like to take a moment to thank Leo Rogers and Tim Hemstreet for all their work over the past 4 years. And I think that the increases to your contracts are well-deserved, and we thank you for that work and look forward to working with you in the future. And, you know, Mr. Hemstreet also went on to mention some of the accomplishments of this board, and they have been many. And it has been an honor and a pleasure for me to represent the Catoctin District and work with this board. I know we haven't always agreed on anything, but who does? But the issues that we put forward, transportation, improving transportation, economic development, fiscal responsibility, and supporting our fine school system, we have run the race and finished the race, and we have devoted our efforts to those things. And I just want to thank everyone on the board that I had the chance to serve with for their work on those areas, because we worked together and pulled together, and I think we accomplished much in that direction. You know, I would like to take a moment, I don't want to run over time here, and talk about some of my colleagues here. It's been mentioned already about Mr. Reed and his expertise in transportation, and he really has brought that to the table. He's also brought to the table an intimate knowledge of our biggest town, which really is a city, small city, Leesburg, and he's helped us with the issues that come from and out of and affect the town of Leesburg, so we thank you for that. Jim Bonfils, you know, Jim has done a great job. He was thrown in to this cauldron at a time when it was kind of steaming and bubbling, and stepped up to the plate and has done a great job, has dived into the issues, got knowledgeable on the issues, and really has had a crash course in just a few months. So thank you for that service. Supervisor Clark, what can I say, Janet? It's been a pleasure working with you on so many things in Western Loudoun. We've worked arm in arm on much, and I'm going to miss you much. And I appreciate your service and your friendship and the ability we've had to work on things together. As I come to these last two culprits, I have a hard time imagining Loudoun County Board of Supervisors without Scott York and Eugene Delgadio on it. I mean, in my adult life, pretty much, both of them have been here representing Loudoun County and doing a heck of a job. And, you know, as somebody said before, you can't ride through Loudoun County and look at Loudoun County and the changes that have occurred, and I've been here since 1977, there's a lot of them, without seeing the handprints and the work of Mr. York, Chairman York, and Eugene Delgadio. They've been in the thick of it. They were in it when it was really difficult during the days of the new comp plan and the changes that took place. And so I'm having a hard time getting my head around a term with you guys not being here. I guess I'll figure that out in a few weeks, one way or the other. But thank you for your service to the county, and thank you for your friendship. And both of you have advised me and been mentors to me and kicked me a few times when I needed kicking, so I thank you for all that. I wish you well. And knowing both of you and your MOs, I don't think this is the last we will have seen of you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Bonfils.
That's a lot to follow. So we'll start with the disclosures. On December 5th, I met with David Rubino at the Blend Coffee Shop in the Southern Walk Shopping Center about ZMAP 2005-0018 and SBX 2005-0028, the Ashbrook Marketplace. On December 8th, I met with Ms. Packy Crown, Mary Beth Edvisarian, and Ricky Barker. Susan Volpe was there. Ben, my aide, was there in the BOS conference room. We talked about the ZMAP 2005-0018, SPX 2005-0028, the Ashburn Marketplace. Then on December 12th, I met Min Lee from Gramercy at the Blend Coffee Shop, and that was in reference to ZCPA 2015-0014, ZMOD 2015-007, and it was, of course, the Loudoun Station. December 14th, I attended the Dulles Rail event where they gave us the award, I also attended the open house today at the Chamber. So just a few comments, you know, about my brief stay here. First, I have to thank Mr. Delgadio calling me the youngest member of this board. I appreciate that. The person who fills the seat next time, January 1st, will be the youngest. He'll be 20. He's 26. So we won't hold that up. But at any rate, I was really pleased to continue my service to our community, Loudoun County, by being appointed to this board by all of you, because that's what happened on September 21st. So it's been a very quick 100 days. I do remember that first day with Chairman York and all of Mr. Hemstreet's staff, starting at 9 a.m. and concluding at somewhere around 6:30, trying to give me all this information in one day. They succeeded. I had to come back and ask lots of questions. I really do appreciate that. I will be coming back, not on this side, but at the podium. I have a lot of things to say, as you know, generally very briefly. But this has been a great learning experience for me, and I appreciate each and every one of your support and guidance through this process. Mr. Hemstreet and his team, Leo, it's just that the whole team here has been and staff has been wonderful to work with, very, very helpful. I do have to thank the two aides that I've had the privilege of working the most with, Caleb, who was rudely and deliberately removed from helping me because he became chief of staff, and when we were having a lot of fun. Then Ben came in and filled his shoes very capably, and we've been working through all the issues, and so. I do have to thank them, and I'd like to recognize that my wife Terry is here in the office, seems like the office these last 3 months, but she's here, and she's been very supportive of all my efforts, both in volunteer as well as being appointed to this board. So I want to thank everybody for that, and I hope I've made a difference in my time here. Thank you.
Thank you, and Mr. Bona.
Yes, thank you, Ms. York. I've got two disclosures I need to make. Friday, 11 December, I met with the following people to further discuss ZCPA 2015-0014, Loudoun Station Commuter Parking, and ZCPA 2015-0012, Loudoun Station Transit. From Comstock present were Chris Clementi, their CEO, Phil London, from Reed Smith, James Brennan, Mike Banzoff in Loudoun County, Chairman York, myself, Leo Rogers and Kenny Young. Then on Monday, 14 December, County Attorney Leo Rogers and I met with the Lansdowne Conservancy President, Tom Jevons, who is also President of Lansdowne Village Green HOA, and their attorney, Woody Turner, to discuss the Conservancy's concerns regarding the utility lines and easements along Route 7 for the Route 7 Belmont Ridge Road Interchange Project. There's been a lot of thanks said tonight. And let me just start out by saying, This board has achieved so much. And I've watched several other boards prior to this one, and I feel that we have really accomplished a yeoman's job. And we have a lot, every one of you up here has a lot to be proud of. Staff back in August put together a 25-page document, and this is in August, of accomplishments of this board. And it kind of hit the areas that Supervisor Higgins highlighted: economic development, transportation, metro, roads, fiscal responsibility, government operations, quality schools. And when you read through this, it's mind-boggling. We've done well over 40 capital projects in the time we've been on the board, and brought them to fruition and have them open, be them schools, be them roads, be them sheriff stations, fire rescue stations. It's a lot of projects that we've been able to do in 4 years. Let me first thank my wife, Chris, who happens to be sitting over there. She's the one that lets me do this, and she's the one that is usually in bed when I get home at night. I don't see her because she leaves for work early, and we can go days without seeing each other, but it's just part of this. And I want to thank all the spouses out there. I see several of you. I see Margaret, Gail, Terry, Chris, Tom. I know some of you out there, and thanks for coming out tonight. But thanks more importantly for the sacrifice that you allow your spouses. Oh, and Ken, I'm sorry. But anyhow, the sacrifices you allow us to make to serve the public, that's really the key thing. And that's why most of us do this. I think it's why we all do it. We want to make a difference in our community. And I know this board made a big, big difference in our community. I want to thank Dory O'Brien, my legislative aide. Dory's my pit bull. Dory gets a whole lot done. She's the one that deals with my constituents, who sometimes can be difficult. We don't have difficult constituents, do we? No. And she's the master at handling them and researching and resolving problems. Just to run around a little bit, Mr. Bonfields, I appreciate you stepping up. You've learned so much so quick. I've just been amazed at how on top of the issues you are in just 3 months' time, because, you know, our districts abut each other, and we've talked about a lot of things. I will also say I saw Supervisor Williams last night, and I'm proud to report that he's doing very well, gainfully employed with a very good job. Him and his family are doing well. He told me that his therapist told him, when you get frustrated, either go work out or do a couple other things. He said he's at the gym constantly. So he's becoming very healthy. I want to thank staff. We have the best staff in all of Virginia, probably in the country, across the board, every department, from the county administrator, the county attorney, to every department head, to everybody that supports us. You guys are great. You make our life so much easier. And I know we're difficult up here sometimes. You know, Supervisor Volpe said we're family, and we are. But families have spats. And we've had a few of them up here. I mean, we're 9 Republicans. How many 5-4 votes have we had over our term? A lot. So, you know, it just shows each one of us has our opinions on the issues, and that's what we want to do. As Supervisor Reed, thank you for all your support, your service not only to the county, but your time on the Leesburg Town Council. And I agree with some of the other observations. I think we're going to see you pop up other places. And Mr. Higgins, you've been a wonderful supervisor to work with. You're always even-keeled. Whenever we disagree on issues, we disagree to disagree, and we're not disagreeable, and I think that makes it a lot easier for us to work together. Supervisor Volpe, I don't think there's a day in 4 years you and I haven't talked. Sometimes 3, 4, 10, 20 times.
Sorry.
We talked probably 4 times today, but I appreciate that. And we do have a lot of late, very late in the evening calls. My wife will usually say if it's after 10, it's Suzanne, so just go get the phone. If it's after 12, it's Suzanne, go get the phone. But that's how we get things done a lot of times. And Mr. Delgadio, I agree with Supervisor Letourneau. You've added a lot of levity. You've been on this board a long time, and that takes a big, big sacrifice. We don't always see eye to eye, but I think we do more often than we do. Hey, we voted together on something today. So it only took 4 years, like I said. But the fact of it is, you've lightened these meetings up when we needed them lightened up. And Supervisor Clark, you and I were the first two to declare our candidacies. I'm out of time, so I'm going to be quick. But you and I campaigned a lot together early on. And we got to know each other very well as a result of that. And it's been a pleasure with all of you. And finally, Chairman York, on January 6, 2016, at the first meet the next board, I was going to bring an item to the board, a resolution to rename Loudoun County York County, and then it was brought to my attention that name was already taken.
That's right.
So I guess we can't do that, but I'll find. Maybe we'll do another Patriot project in front of the courthouse or something. But the fact is, you and your family have sacrificed immensely for this county. You have made this county such a great place to live, work, and play. You're just ubiquitous in the county, and your fingerprints are on everything great and good that ever happened in this county. And for everybody leaving, it's not an ending. It's a beginning to the next chapter of your life. And view it that way and go out and find what that next great adventure is. Some of you may get back in politics. Some of you may be sitting up here again someday. If you're smart, you'll go sit somewhere else. But the fact of it is that you've all been great, and it's been an honor to serve with you. Thank you.
Thank you, and board members. I think the first important disclosure I need to make is my wife is actually here for her very first board meeting to witness me. Is this the second one? I saw it. Okay.
So anyway, and Joanne, thank you very much for allowing me to do this for all these years. It's not been easy. And Robin, thank you for your service and for and not only supporting me for these 10 years, but more importantly, for taking care of problems that needed to be taken care of with those in Loudoun County. And you'll be a big loss up on that floor. To those who are returning to this board, just know I want you to continue supporting excellent libraries, excellent education. Please make sure you continue to fund all those transportation projects that are needed to be done. I also believe there are things that need to be done to help with staff. They've done a yeoman's job, and I think there needs to be some raises throughout the system. And finally, I will just say with that, please cut my taxes. to the outgoing board members, it has been a pleasure to work with you, and I hope nothing but the best for the next venture in life as you all go forward. And there is still a lot of opportunity, and just because we're not here making decisions doesn't forbid us from having the opportunity to serve in other ways in the community. And Mr. Hemstreet, thank you, sir. First, for wanting to even come to Loudoun County. Second, for taking the job. And third, for doing what you have done and working with your staff to support this Board of Supervisors and the board in the past. We couldn't do anything if we didn't have the great staff work to help us accomplish what we want to accomplish. And we have done so much in the last 4 years, as the report states, but it isn't done without your all's good work to getting us there. So thank you very much, and please let your staff know that we appreciate all that they've done for us. To all the citizens out there, thank you very much for allowing me the privilege of serving you for 24 years. The first culprit I'll blame is Roger Zern for putting me on the Planning Commission. And then for asking me to run a Sterling District Supervisor, which led me to decide to run for chairman because I was concerned about the direction of our community. And I sincerely appreciate the education that I've gotten while serving here as a board member. And I appreciate the things that have been able to be accomplished throughout my tenure on the board. But understand, Scott York was just a part of it. It took a board, it took staff, it took a community to make what Loudoun County is today. And I think of everything that we were back in 1996 when I joined the board, to where we are today and the prosperity that we have. One point we were worried that our agricultural community was going down the toilet. And the board did what was necessary, I think, to help save it. It was of controversy, but I think the proof is in the pudding of what we have today. I am grateful that we were able to support the various transportation initiatives that got us to where we are today in our CIP. I wish it was only sooner, and I wish we had a little bit more to be able to invest in transportation. And to those members who served on the in the House of Delegates and the Senate, who risk their political opportunities or career on voting for that transportation bill, I say thank you. Because without it, we couldn't be doing all that we are able to do now. Because the 2 cents that we dedicated as a board is only worth about 12 or 13 million. But we have 800 million queued into the CIP. And much of that is because of people having the guts to sometimes lead at the risk of where they will come if they decide to run for re-election. And that's what leadership is. So I thank all of them. As we go forward, as a community, there is much to be proud of, but there is much to still accomplish. To the new board that will sit here, I wish them well. And I hope, as counsel has been given earlier, that despite what you may be politically, where you may come from, that you will all work together. As citizens, we expect the Board of Supervisors to work for the good of the people, nothing less, nothing more. So I thank everybody. I have probably left folks out, but my time is out. And the citizens have spoke. So for one last time, after 16 years of serving as your chair, I say there is no more business. The meeting is adjourned. Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to stay. We have four of our current colleagues who are moving forward to serve this county as board members, and we are grateful for that, and they will now take the opportunity to be sworn in to serve another 4 years. So you're invited to stay and witness that. And Mr. Clemens, you want to come on down? And I don't know how you're handling the program, but... Okay.